Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down
at the Roundtable. Welcome back as we continue our discussion of our 11 shortlisted books for our 2021 NICE project.
Are we ready to move on to Secret Garden?
Absolutely.
Okay, so now the Secret Garden is, I have owned the Secret Garden since my grandmother used to send me books, The Secret Garden and A Little Princess she sent at the same time. And so The Secret Garden by Frances Hodgson Burnett, I can never say all those names, was first published in 1911. It was serialized before that in 1910, November 1910 to August 1911. So it's a classic of English children's literature, right? We have some pretty good pros and cons about it. It's, you know, definitely a certain type of story. So talk to us about our pros and cons a little bit.
Sure, absolutely. So it is a story about transformation, where several characters who are either unlikable or grouchy or, you know, suffering from trauma or bad upbringing, they, you know, slowly open up, whether it's through kind of the magic of nature or through the magic of human connection, they open up and become better human beings. And I just love a good transformation story. It is a little bit sentimental, but I also kind of feel like when the kids are bratty, they do behave like real bratty kids that I have experienced in real life.
There's also that element of neglect, of neglecting children. Childhood neglect is rampant in this book. I mean, as far as like parental neglect, adult neglect of children. I mean, wow, we got a lot of meat on the bone for that, which, you know, is still relevant today, right? And I think one of the things that is a pro that we didn't exactly put in our list of pros, but just, I think we meant to, I think we probably both thought of it and just didn't write it down, is in, you know, in the, with the whole COVID-19 isolation, kids being out of school, parents are doing this homeschooling, Zoomy stuff, you know, for kids. I don't mean homeschooling, but classes are online, I guess I should say. You know, this idea of nature and, you know, being able to, for kids to go out and plant a garden, for example, or something like that, or to, I have a feeling that that's a little bit more timely than we might've thought, you know, if we'd looked at this book as a potential book 2 years ago, say. And it does have a lot of beautiful descriptive stuff too. So I think artistically, it's pretty good choice. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to point out just the same thing, that lots of floral and plant imagery for the art.
You learn about different kinds of flowers and stuff, you know, in the book. It's like, what? Okay. I mean, the gardeners are you know, pretty informative, you know, so.
Right.
So, again, with our cons, you had talked about some cons when we put our list together.
Right. And as you pointed out, these could be, rather than viewing them as cons, they should be fodder for discussion.
I think on the surface, at first glance to our audience, they might think of these things as cons. So we should, you know, go ahead and present those.
Right. So spoiler alerts again, a young boy, Colin, learns how to walk. And I remember when I read that as a kid, that was, oh, that's a moment of great victory. But could it also be awkward for readers with disabilities that can't be quote unquote fixed?
Right. Exactly. And he's a kid who had, I can't remember now the reason why he couldn't walk, but it was a illness, I think, that affected his, I don't remember. Gosh, it's been a long time since I've heard.
It's a little vague. And it's also implied that part of the reason that he can't walk is that he's been coddled and never pushed to exercise.
Which could be very metaphorically interesting. not just literal, you know. I mean, that's, I guess, what I think when we first talked about our cons, that was as a disabled person myself, and my disabilities are hidden, and lung, heart, those kind of things. I can't fix those things. They are not to be fixed. So yeah, that is a little disheartening, but at the same time, I think metaphorically, you know, to kind of embrace and accept your disabilities if you have them and figure out what you can do. I don't want to say rise above your disabilities, because that makes it sound like having disabilities are something bad, but being able to live with your disabilities and make them part of your life in a way that it isn't a negative. I feel like that's not a bad thing to talk about. It might be a good thing to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So what else do we have on our list of...
We can also talk about, you know, Mary has a past in India, and as a British person in India in that era, that could open up a whole nother, like, imperialism, colonization discussion.
Uh-huh. The whole idea of colonialism and all that. Yeah, I feel like that is also on the surface. You know, it's like, oh, they picked a book, you know, that's white supremacy, colonialism, blah, blah, blah. You know, well, yes, but we can delve into that. You know, we can look at that deeply, and the first couple chapters of this book I think are quite interesting from her point of view, from the child's point of view, you know, not understanding what's going on with the epidemic, with the mm-hmm. soldiers in India and all that stuff. So I think it's a good choice. I'm not sure that it tops A Wrinkle in Time if we were Mm-mm. only want to pick one kind of child, young adult book. I'm not sure. I think A Wrinkle in Time is probably going to be the more obvious choice, because there's just so much more to it.
You know? Yeah, I would agree.
All right. So let's talk about North and South, published in 1854 by English writer Elizabeth Gaskell. So right away, we know we're talking about North and South in England, not in the American Civil War period. All right.
Important distinction.
It does need to be said, though, out loud. So mm-hmm. so this book, you know, uses a protagonist from Southern England to present and comment on the perspective of mill owners and workers in an industrializing city that's set in the north of England, right? So basically, Gaskell based her depiction of her fictional town of Milton on the real town of Manchester, where she lived as the wife of a Unitarian minister in real life. So tell us a little bit about our pros and cons.
Right. When I first became familiar with North and South, I'm like, wow, it's like Pride and Prejudice with labor unions. And to some extent it is. To some extent, I think it's a deeper, more socially aware book. And when I say socially aware, I don't just mean the dynamics between people. Austin's very good at that. I mean the dynamics of what's going on in society, economically, between classes. I mean that. Yeah. So it does have a romance, but I think it is a deep book for explaining some of those and exploring some of those questions of labor and rights and class and religion. Mm-hmm. It also has some strong female characters. For example, I loved our male protagonist, Mr. Thornton. His mother, Mrs. Thornton, is a strong woman. His sister, Fanny, is kind of a fun ditz. And so I think that we're not just going to get this picture of what is womanhood in this time period from our main character, we're also going to get it from all the relatives of our main two and the friends. Oh, and just that it's textiles, because what's happening here is that Mr. Thornton runs a textiles mill. And so that could be appealing to textile art.
And there, and one of the things that's in our prose is the wonderful mini series that was made, and I can't remember the year that it was made, but I know it stars Richard Armitage, and I just love him, so he's fabulous. Mm-hmm. That's a pro.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
tell us a bit about the cons, because I'm thinking of some myself. Go ahead.
Sure. So Bessie, who is the friend of our heroine, Margaret Hale, Bessie is someone who works in a mill, and she has a lung condition from working in that mill, and she's dying of it. And she, sorry, spoilers. Our whole thing is a spoiler alert. She does get a little preachy, kind of in the same way, though, that Helen Burns got preachy about her own state of dying. Now, I don't have a huge problem with that. I really don't. But I know that scenes like that can be a little off-putting to some readers.
Sure. Well, and we have to just remind them this was written in 1854 or published in 1854. So the style of writing, the preachiness of this is a certain type of classic English literature book, right? Book of classic English writing. It is what it is. And Bessie is who she is in that context. I think your note in our notes that Bessie would have fit in well with last year's selection of books, because we had a couple women dying young, you know, in Little Women, Beth dies young. In Jane Eyre, Helen Burns dies young. Yeah, Bessie would have fit right in. But that's again, leads me to the biggest con, the biggest no for this, is that it is so similar to books we've done really recently. That, you know, I'm almost like we would be kind of talking about a lot of the same things we just talked about last year or the year before. And so this book isn't as high on my list of out of this 11 as it might have been if we hadn't just done, say, for example, Jane Eyre.
Yeah, to me, it is a very distinctly different book from Pride and Prejudice, which we did first year, or Jane Eyre, which is gothic. I mean, this is so much more about social responsibility. Mm-hmm. And we haven't really dealt with in the Industrial Revolution, have we?
No, not really. But I feel like those themes of socioeconomic differences, caste, class, things like that, we did deal with in last year in particular with Jane Eyre and Little Women. In certain ways, we really did. I feel like this is very similar in some ways. I realize that having it be set with the Industrial Revolution, mill workers and labor unions and stuff like that versus the owners of the mill and that kind of thing is a little bit different, but it's very different. But it's still kind of in the big picture themes, it feels resonating to me with things that we've talked about before. But that's not necessarily, you know, a flat out no. It's just, you know.
Yeah, I guess I see, okay, like with Rochester, I mean, that is a guy who inherited his wealth and his privilege. Mm-hmm. Now, Thornton is a self-made man who fought tooth and nail after his father committed suicide to get to the point where he could own a mill.
Sure.
They're very different characters. So, I mean, of the books that we've discussed so far, I would say this one for me falls somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. Middle to low for me so far, but I think it's just because some of the other ones we've talked about are just so exciting to me because they're like different in some way, or there's something more to them, layered. There's just an excitement there that I don't really feel for this book.
Okay.
Join us next time as we continue our discussion of our 2021 NICE project.
This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.